really tied to our outcomes as an educational system. It matters greatly to the parents of children of color who tell us about our having low expectations for their children. Race matters. For example, we know that there is a statistically significant difference between black and white students in elementary school reading. Both black and white students may grow from one administration of the WKCE test to the next, but on average, black students gain 5.8 points less than their white counterparts. Every student should have the chance to grow as much as any other student, regardless of their race. From what we know today, this is not happening. As a district and a community, we must first honestly accept and recognize that race must be a part of our dialogue. All of us must recommit to facing our views about race. This, after all, I believe, is the first step to ensure that all children have their proper place with us. We must also recognize that growing poverty and shrinking resources matter to our school district. Since the 1997-98 school year, the percentage of lower-income children in our district has doubled, with now almost 50% of our children qualifying for free or reduced lunch. 17 of our 32 elementary schools have over 50% low-income children. And in that very same time period, this district had to reduce budgets and create efficiencies amounting to $70 million. This resulted in real reductions of programs and services for our children, including increases in class size, elimination of equity and diversity advocacy positions, and a whole variety of positions and programs designed to better serve children. Resources matter in education, but unfortunately, I have lived, and I believe we live, in a time when we have mainly been able to focus on how to make ends meet for next year's budget, not what will best meet the needs of children. And I know there is not an easy solution to this, but I am a firm believer that resources matter in education. And as the needs of our children have increased in our district, our resources have factually gone down. As a country, as a state, as a community, it's my bias that we are simply letting our children down. And as I look at my staff who join us this evening, and as I look over at the Board of Education, I am struck by the following sad reality: that none of us have gone into this work to do less for children, but I would argue that's in fact what has happened because of the funding formula in this state. Before I get into the specifics of our preliminary plan this evening, I do want to recognize something. I want to take a minute to thank Colleen Kerr and the Urban League of Greater Madison for their work on the racial and socioeconomic achievement gaps. This organization, as well as others in our community, have been persistent advocates for children, and I appreciate your and others' concern, commitment, and willingness to challenge us to provide the best kind of education that every child deserves. The discussion over Madison Prep, while difficult, has given this issue the public forum and the urgency that it needs in our community. And my hope is that we can keep this sense of urgency alive as we look at preliminary solutions tonight and ask for you, our community, for input on those solutions in weeks to come. The preliminary plan we're calling Building Our Future that we present tonight is based in part on the current work of our staff within the district. It reflects some effective work already underway, some promising practices we have explored but not fully implemented, and some altogether new ideas. We are basing these ideas on what the research says about the elimination of achievement gaps. We considered what has worked in our own district and in others across the country, and we looked at where we can leverage resources for the greatest impact on student achievement and the elimination of achievement gaps. I want to reinforce that what's being presented tonight is a preliminary plan. This is the first step in our journey together. Now we need you to join us in fleshing out this framework and improving this plan. Solving these achievement gaps is not something any district can do without engagement and support of the larger community. We need greater opportunities for partnerships, and we need to hear your voice. I want you to know I have been humbled in my relatively short time in this community regarding how other institutions and organizations are willing to join forces with our school district in support of our children. This plan has been designed as a framework for our final plan, which will be created with input from the community over the next several weeks. The district will hold information and input sessions across the community, as Mr. Howard pointed out, to provide us opportunities for feedback. And those sessions are listed in the plan, which you'll receive a copy at the end of the presentation tonight, and they're also listed on our website. Our preliminary plan has six areas of focus. Those six areas of focus have been chosen because we feel they represent that the landscape of education today. But they also recognize that we do have a responsibility in school, and they also recognize that there's a community responsibility. Those six areas are instruction and support, college and career readiness, culturally relevant practices, safe and positive school environments, family engagement, and ensuring a diverse, qualified workforce. It's my view that any successful plan to close our gaps must employ a combination of strategies. In fact, if there was one simple answer, I believe we would have employed it a long time ago, and it would have been replicated in districts across the country. This reality of ours calls for many things to be in place. The problem of the achievement gaps is complex, and our solutions must be equally complex in their approach. Building Our Future, the name of our preliminary plan. Our focus starts in Chapter 1 in the classroom by what we're calling reshaping academic instruction and support. First, we must ensure that all K-12 students are reading at grade level. And we propose to do the following things in addition to what we're currently doing. We propose to expand the use of a specific literacy curriculum in targeted elementary schools and grades to have better literacy outcomes. We have a pilot of this particular curriculum approach this year. Second, we propose to provide more school-based literacy interventionists for elementary schools, meaning more staff, reading staff, working directly with children on reading. We propose adding literacy coaches pre-K-12 to support classroom teachers and strengthen literacy instruction in all areas of the content. And we also propose adding to our reading recovery program, which is a key intervention program for first graders. Along with this plan to improve reading, we have also identified a special focus for reading at grade 3. And here I'm delighted to say that by joining forces with the United Way Schools of Hope effort, we want to create what we're calling a full court press by targeting specific third grade students who are struggling with literacy. The plan proposes adding more interventionists to join forces with the Schools of Hope program with a focus on third grade. Those students would be identified, there'd be more concentrated help provided those kids, and then those kids would be followed into fourth grade to ensure that they remain on track with their literacy skills. A key aspect of the preliminary plan involves extending the school in targeted ways. We know from data that many of our students do not have enough learning time to meet standards. We know that our students can meet academic standards if we give them more time to do so. If you look at a lot of the research that's been done on the contemporary American curriculum, what we've done is we've added and added and added things to the curriculum, more and more standards, and yet we remain with a very traditional school day. So we are proposing phasing in an extension of the school day in a targeted manner by adding time at designated number of elementary schools. And for the middle schools and high school, we propose adding a zero period to provide additional learning opportunities for students who are behind. In the first year, we're recommending starting at the middle and high schools, and we would identify students that are in greatest need and create additional learning opportunities through that additional period of instruction. Along with the addition to the school day, we are also proposing to expand the number of students participating in our summer school learning program. We've added some additional kids in the last year. We need to add more students who are not meeting standards. Another recommendation involves us proposing expanding 21st century community learning centers in the highest need elementary schools. This is an after-school model. This is again to ensure through additional after-school learning opportunities that more of our students of color and low-income students have more time to learn. Related to this work that we want to do focusing on the classroom, we can no longer afford to let students fail before we find a way to intervene. We propose developing a very specific technology-based early warning system to make sure our instruction and support allows a student a chance to recover before they're too far behind and to improve. This early learning system would track a student's growth and would target specific behaviors, specific academic outcomes for immediate notification of school staff as well as parents, guardians. We need to intervene before it's too late. And finally, in this area of instruction, we are proposing a set of recommendations that would address how we need to innovate at the school level. I believe that innovation at the school and classroom level may be key to our trying new ideas to eliminate the achievement gaps. At the same time, we want these ideas to come from those that are daily on the ground, working to make more of a difference for our kids. An important component of this preliminary plan involves school-based communities, with the support of their principal, submitting proposals to have their schools implement an innovative instructional design. We are thinking of these as theme-based programs that would target the elimination of our achievement gaps. These proposals would come from our schools and would initially be reviewed by, I'm suggesting, a school community member committee. Along with this, we are also proposing to join forces with the community, community organizations, and the Foundation for Madison Schools in the development of an innovation fund that would jumpstart these creative designs. Time for planning this creative approach. We know new ideas are needed in the mix of our other ideas, and these proposals from staff members and schools will take us to a new and better place for our kids. The second set of recommendations, in fact, the second chapter in the plan, is called Developing Career and College Readiness. Here we move beyond traditional approaches to intervene with kids in the instructional environment and work to prepare all for life after high school. We must focus on this much more clearly, especially for those students who have not typically placed themselves on a defined career or college pathway. This proposal involves developing a comprehensive sequence of career and college readiness courses for our middle and high school students. We need students, especially those that have been historically disengaged, to see a future for themselves. And if we can have coursework that's designed from the school to work pipeline, we believe there's a greater opportunity to be engaged in school and a greater opportunity to see a future for themselves. This will come through a defined sequence of courses that are aligned to the college and career-ready standards. And they would also be aligned to a local initiative, local economic development initiative called Thrive. As such, our students will have the opportunity to identify career interests, take coursework aligned to those career interests, and develop a trajectory to post-secondary learning and work. We have to create a greater vision within our curriculum for future, especially for young people that don't see that future at this point in time. A piece of this proposal involves creating career academies that will differ by each high school, which will create an even more focused opportunity for career development. The examples that come from the Thrive industry clusters include advanced manufacturing, agriculture and food systems, healthcare, life sciences, design and technology, and I must admit, one I'm very enthused about is education and training. And the reason I'm enthused is that I believe that links directly to our last set of recommendations about growing our own high school students into the field of teaching, especially our young students of color that see the opportunity to help their community by going into teaching. To accomplish this, we know that we'll need to increase collaboration with business and industry, and I've had preliminary conversations with business and industry leaders, and I believe we can create this conversation. Because what we also want to add to this is what's called work-based learning programs, where students can have co-op programs, youth apprenticeship programs, be involved in job shadowing experiences within workforces, within places of work in our community that align to these industry themes. So there is a great opportunity to extend brighter futures to young people through the curriculum, and there's a great opportunity, I believe, to align to community effort in doing so. Another recommendation in this section involves ACT college entrance test preparation for all students, Now we have some students that participate in those tests. This is important, and there's important work being done by community organizations like the Urban League, because we need all of our students to take these tests to ensure that they understand what these tests are like and how they can help them create a pathway into post-secondary learning environments. If you're not participating in that type of assessment, how do you open the door to even the application to post-secondary learning? As a district, as staff, we are pleased with what the data is showing additionally regarding our high school AVID program. I believe we need to start earlier with this work, and we are proposing the expansion of the AVID program to our middle schools. We believe the earlier we can start with this pathway, that young people can see the potential for post-secondary learning and understand the importance of graduating from high school, the better those young people will be. There's also a need to support individual students in the pathway of high school to post-secondary learning and work. So we are proposing to implement the MMSD Mentor Academy. This would be another brand new initiative for the district. And I would ask you to imagine this. Many, many community members, adults in our community, linking up with our high school students, adults of color, having relationships with students of color, low-income students, and creating an opportunity for conversation about how to stay on the pathway to college. We also propose as a piece of this to have some elective courses that build on this mentoring experience. And finally, in this section of the plan, another way to start earlier with this work is to provide fifth grade students in our district the opportunity to participate in what's called a people-like program, a people prep program. It's my understanding that currently we have about 25 fifth grade students involved in kind of a small effort with the people program, which currently targets middle and high schools. Our recommendation is to work with the university, and I believe there's the opportunity to create this partnership as well, to create a people-like program at the upper elementary level. When should we create aspirations for young people? As early as possible. So if those aspirations can be created in elementary school, to understand what college is, to look at what that experience might entail, we believe the greater likelihood exists that they will go on to those learning experiences in their lives. So we need to start earlier than middle school with a program like that. The next area of our plan is a critically important area as well, and it involves expanding culturally responsive practices within the district. This is a crucial piece for our overall plan because it asserts more solutions to ensure that our students, in fact, see themselves within our curriculum. These proposals build on the very promising work that has been done historically in our district and is being currently done in our district. This section of the preliminary plan consists of four main recommendations, which allow us to go beyond having four current schools that have identified culturally relevant practices as a focus to ensure that these practices exist across our entire school district. We have several recommendations here as well. The first recommendation involves returning to district-wide diversity training and diversity coaching for all staff. My view as a district that we must return to this training, and we must have honest conversations about issues regarding race and the race achievement connection and what our individual and group biases are as we engage with our ever more diverse student population. To this end, we have these following ideas: that we will work with national experts in creating and implementing a new tiered system of diversity training for all staff. There would be foundational, intermediate, and advanced training and on-site coaching, which includes a range of cutting-edge practices, including experience with diverse communities and context and how to mediate our interaction and involvement with diverse communities. To do this, we propose hire culturally responsive coaches to help our staff develop those skills. A second recommendation that we have is implementing promising practice cohorts. Here we can build on a strength in this school district by having our staff work with other staff in a cohort model. Our principals have identified approximately 100 staff members who demonstrate culturally responsive practices consistently in their work. Our hope is that these teachers and support staff will be asked to serve as a nucleus for this work as we work to bring other teachers into these cohorts to to help teachers practice in culturally responsive ways. Our third recommendation here we view as a creative approach to also extending our work with culturally relevant practices. And here we're proposing using one of our existing schools, has not been identified, that is premature, because we don't know if this idea will remain, and we don't know what school that it would be. But to create a model school for culturally relevant practices. Here we assert to use one of our existing schools to assist underserved students through the use of culturally responsive practices. And I think a great idea is to develop opportunity to bring teachers from across the district to that school to see what those practices look like in real terms. And finally, in this section, which is a less bold suggestion, but basically what we're suggesting and recommending is, as we do other professional development, we integrate culturally relevant practices into that so we don't have so much separation and overextend our teachers with professional development. The next area of our recommendation, the fourth area, is ensuring safe and positive school environments. This section of the preliminary plan focuses on the social and emotional skills we need students to have in order to be successful in our schools. As I have continued to visit our schools, it is very apparent to me how concerned our staff is about this issue. Through this preliminary plan, we are creating a greater focus in this area. There is a set of recommendations to focus on supporting the social, emotional, and behavioral needs of all students. I think it's no more than 2 years ago, we brought social emotional learning standards to our Board of Education, recognizing that actual instruction in our schools would happen with that type of learning. And what we need to do is to purchase the curriculum materials that will be necessary to implement this work district-wide. We are also proposing providing half-time positive behavior coaches in every elementary school. These positions would focus on the work needed to teach our social-emotional curriculum, to help other teachers teach those skills, and also to help principals address problematic behaviors in a safe and timely manner. And we also want to continue to implement a program that we think has promise and we've been using for a few years, called Responsive Classrooms, in all of our elementary and middle schools. This program allows schools to develop more positive school culture and a sense of community. It fosters positive staff-student relationships and provides staff with effective behavior management skills. The second area of focus in this chapter of the preliminary plan would enhance school community safety and student engagement. Here we're concerned about more difficult behaviors that are interfering with young people and their learning. We want to implement K-12 school community safety and student engagement teams in each high school attendance area and to appropriately staff those teams. This K-12 system of support would provide critical responses regarding incidents that have taken place in number one, our schools, and or number two in the community, and to prevent any disruption in the learning environment. We also want to increase restorative practices and other behavior interventions to keep our students on the right path and to remain in school. And finally, a piece of this recommendation involves the implementation of youth courts in all of our middle schools. The fifth chapter of the plan is called family engagement. Our schools need to be better connecting places for the parents and guardians we serve. Also, engagement with our students' families is crucial to each child's success academically. We know this. So here we have a series of recommendations that go beyond what we're currently doing. We propose establishing a program we call Parent University, which is based on the work of Joyce Epstein and a model that's been developed by the Boston Public Schools. As part of this, we will also develop a catalog of resources for parents. This will include developing access to existing educational and professional resources for parents. Our proposal also has a communication piece in it, so we can get that kind of information out to parents and guardians more readily. And a piece of that would also involve parenting skills. Another recommendation I bring back to the budget issue that I mentioned earlier, because at an earlier time, before the district made budget program reductions, there existed a parent liaison program in the school district and parent liaison positions. This preliminary plan reestablishes these positions half-time in all of our elementary schools. The preliminary plan in this area also includes another wonderful opportunity to collaborate with the United Way of Dane County in the implementation of a parent-child home program. It's the additional piece in our plan that focuses on preschool, and it builds on the efforts that we're currently involved with preschool children, four-year-old kindergarten, play and learn, our program for young children with disabilities. And we felt if we are going to narrow that kindergarten readiness gap that I showed you right at the beginning, that we needed to do another piece. And here we have the opportunity to join forces with the United Way with this new program that focuses on helping parents, guardians of preschoolers, with bonding with their children and emerging literacy skills. This, as I said, would be an enhancement piece in the early childhood area. And finally, I'm excited to announce a proposal in the plan that would expand our work with organizations like the City of Madison and possibly organizations like the YMCA in creating, and those are just two I mentioned as example, in creating additional, what we're calling open school houses, where school-linked services for families could be provided to children and families at our schools or near our schools to address the needs that they have for these services. Obviously, we'd have to develop a collaborative relationship to make something like that happen. But we want to go further in helping our families and parents engage in school by looking at this concept of school-linked services. And finally, we turn to the last section of the recommendations, which focus on recruiting, selecting, and retaining a diverse workforce. And I will say to you that this is an area of struggle for school districts, including ours, and we have proposals to change this. We have just hired our new chief diversity officer, who in fact will report directly to me. And the chief diversity officer will have overall responsibility for ensuring that we recruit, select, and retain a more diverse workforce. Our students of color need to see themselves more in our schools. Our preliminary proposal also identifies the need for some additional positions to help with this work, mainly in the area of what we're calling Grow Our Own programs. So we want to have a program that's called Grow Our Own Students to Teachers program. And that links to that recommendation earlier that I shared with you about Career and College Ready. If we have an academy called the Teacher Education Academy, we have great opportunity to help prepare young people to think about going into the field of education. The district had at one time a Grow Our Own Principals program. We are proposing the restoration of that program with a special focus on staff of color. And finally, the district also has a Grow Our Own Staff to Teacher program, support staff who are interested in becoming teachers. We want to expand that by creating financial incentives that would allow them to move from support staff positions to teaching positions. Those are the six areas of the plan. Having reviewed the six areas of focus to eliminate our achievement gaps, I would now like to focus on the preliminary budget for these proposals. The preliminary plan is accompanied with a preliminary budget, and so just as the plan is preliminary, so is the budget preliminary. Because in the end, we don't know what will remain in the plan. But I felt it was only appropriate if we were going to talk about the need for additional investments in children that we articulate what the financial cost may be. And I also want you to know that my belief is whether it is this plan or another plan, if we are to make things better for our kids, we must invest. The first year of the plan is projected to cost around $12 million. The five-year forecast for the plan is cumulatively, over that five-year period of time, $100 million. It is my thinking that the first-year investment of this plan, meaning next year's budget, could be, if that was a desired path, addressed through the use of the unused property tax levy. The plan from a budget perspective, and I want to say this very directly, gets much tougher in the second year due to additional funds needed, for example, to extend the school day at the elementary level and for college and career ready recommendations. As a result, budget years 2 through 5 should be looked at as placeholder budgets. And it's my commitment in working through this that budget decisions on the plan will need to be made on a year-by-year basis with the Board of Education. So what I'm saying to you is we have a great deal of work to do to make these recommendations a reality, both from a program point of view as well as from a budget point of view. As the preliminary plan was assembled, I could not let these resource challenges stand in the way of our expressing what we need to do to better prepare our children for their learning, for their life after high school. And I want you to know that this budget work was not done to offend anyone, but rather to express what will be needed if changes to occur in our school district. Here, I ask you to work with us. Work with us to find ways to ensure that whatever plan is finally approved, that we as a community have the necessary resources to help our students. Yes, we call this a preliminary plan, building our future. We propose building our future through six lenses, which include instruction and support, college and career readiness, culturally relevant practices, safe and positive school environments, family engagement, and a diverse workforce. As I shared at the beginning, this plan is based on the assumption that we need to do several things if we are going to eliminate our achievement gaps. The question for all of us, as we think about the preliminary plan over the next several weeks, are these the right things to do for our children? In this preliminary plan, we have defined six key leverage points to eliminate our achievement gaps. We also believe these strategies will improve our overall work with all students in the district. For example, the extended day initiative at the elementary schools is for all students at those elementary schools. The curricular work aimed at creating pathways to post-secondary learning and careers is for all students at the middle and high schools. I assure you the plan will also have specific measures to ensure we are making progress with closing our gaps. Here we will rely on our key performance measures, which have increasing expectations for student achievement. Tonight, I present this proposal as a call for action to our staff, our families, and our community. As we do this work within the district, we will establish a greater culture of achievement. We will need to do that. We also know that this is what our staff wants as well. I look forward to the work ahead with the fortitude, determination, and commitment that will be necessary for the transformation of our school district as we go forward. But to be successful, we will need our entire school district and broader community to join us. Join us in redefining our school system and family and community and university partnerships. Join us in realigning our systems and resources with the goal of eliminating gaps in achievement. Join us in creating a new day for family involvement, teacher leadership, and student empowerment. Join us in creating a new narrative about who we are, a narrative that begins with a robust, cutting-edge, integrated continuum of high-quality cradle-to-career programs and services that place all of our children at the center. This initial plan is the first step in our journey together. I do hope that you will join us in fleshing out this framework and improving this plan. Also know that the Board of Education has just received this plan, and they will need the proper time to review it as well. Again, we know we have a lot of work ahead. These untenable disparities have institutional roots in our district and our community. We know this, we're listening, and together with our community, we do intend to change it. Together, we must eliminate these gaps. My commitment is to work together with you, the members of our community, to implement whatever plan is finally approved. I also have a request of you. Work with us. Help us. The only way our children will be helped is if we work together. Find ways that we can partner around the eventual plan to eliminate our achievement gaps. To reinforce that notion, I close with a poem by Langston Hughes called To You. To sit and dream. To sit and read. To sit and learn about the world. Outside our world of here and now, our problem world. To dream of vast horizons of the soul through dreams made whole, unfettered.